गुंडनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the last, in the evening, we discussed about the world being compared with the tree, so a tree, Ashwatha Vriksham, an Ashwatha Vriksham which is sort of upside down, which has Moolam above and Shaka or a root above and then branches below. So it was analogy with respect to the world. The world is, or the world bases itself on, ultimately on the root of the world is Ishvara or Brahman, whatever we term it, Sachidananda Swarupam. And that is the goal of life, because that is the only thing which is ever blissful. So that is the goal, that is the goal of life. Knowing that this world is constantly changing, so amidst this constantly changing world, we are seeking happiness. We cannot get happiness from the changing world. Seeking Ishvara, who is changeless in the changing world, by knowing that the entire world is only an illusion in the changeless Ishvara. So that can be achieved by seeing everything as filled with Ishvara. So again, just one point which was missed out. It's not missed out, it's not very essential, but Ashwattam. The word Ashwattam has a meaning. Ashwattam means that which won't be there tomorrow. Shvaha or Shvam means tomorrow. That which is there tomorrow is Shvattam, and Ashvattam is that which will not be there tomorrow. So Vriksham, the word Vriksham itself means that which will be cut down. So I forgot the derivation for Vriksham. So Vrikshanad or something of that sort. Vriksham means that which is cut down, that which can be cut down. So from the first shloka of the 15th chapter, we have to understand that this world is sustained by karma. It is constantly changing, and its basis, its substratum is Ishvara. So we have already discussed as to why the substratum of the world is Ishvara. In brief, we can discuss it in a different or see it in a different perspective as well. One of the perspective that we can use is the world exists. So that which exists, there is only one thing which can illumine existence. So there is only one light which can throw or which can make other entities exist, and that light is Ishvara. So Ishvara's light or chit is the only thing that can experience or throw light to other lights. It is the light of all lights. So natatra suryo bhatina chandra tarakam. So Krishna himself will say in this chapter as yada aditya gatam tejo jagat bhasayate kilam. Aditya, chandra, all those are shining because of the light of the Atman. So just imagine a state where consciousness is not there. So consciousness, we are not conscious. So if we are not conscious, then how can there be anything? There cannot be any existence. So it is consciousness which illumines everything. Get rid of consciousness, nothing will exist. Everything will cease to exist. So that is another perspective, that the world exists or appears to exist, then that means it is due to chit. Sattva bhasika chitkva vetara sattaya hi chit chittaya hyaham. Sattva bhasika chitkva vetara. Sat, existence can be illumined, the only light, only true light which illumines objects as existing is chit. Without chit, nothing will really exist. Abharupasya vishvasya bhanam bhasam nidhervina kadachit navakalpeta bajaham tena sarvagah. Advaita Makaranda. In Advaita Makaranda, the author says that abharupasya vishvasya, this world which seems to exist. So this existing world, existence of the world is impossible without a light. And the light is not just sun, because there needs a light for sun to exist. So within the entire world, the light is chit. And without that chit, nothing will exist. If that is the case, then chit has to be present everywhere. Because everything is shining. If there is this everywhere, or the entire world is there, then in the entire world, chit has to be there in order for objects to exist. That means such an entity is all pervasive, it is present everywhere. So that is what we have to understand. So this entire world is pervaded by Ishvara. So Ishvara is present in the entire world as its essence, as its substratum. Then what differentiates objects from one another? It is Namarupam. The difference is with respect to name and form. A name, a form, the name of sun and a particular form, the name of earth and a form, the name of table and a form, the name of car and a form. So that is name Namarupam. With respect to Namarupam, there is Bhedam. With respect to Ishvara, with respect to the essential truth, there is no difference at all. Gata kudhya adhikam sarvam mrittika matra mevahi tadvat brahma jagat sarvam iti vedanta dindima. Even as gatam, kudhyam, pot, wall, etc. are mud alone, similarly this entire world is Ishvara. Vasti bhati priyam rupam namam chetyamsha panchakam adhyatrayam brahma rupo jagat rupam tato dhayam. So everything, anything in the world, if we take up anything in the world, it has five components. So there is sat, chit, anandam and nama rupam. Sachidanandam is Brahman, nama rupam is jagat. So if we see nama rupam, we fail to see sachidanandam. If we see sachidanandam, we will know that nama rupam is just mithya. So anything has that. When we see nama rupam, then anandam, the anandam that is there in object, that gets limited. So we get limited happiness, because nama rupam is limited. So it's like a lamp. A lamp can throw light to an entire room, but we put the lamp and then keep it inside a pot. So the lamp is the shine, or the light of the lamp can light the entire room, but still we limit it. When we limit the lamp into a pot, it throws light only to the pot, the area inside the pot. Similarly, anandam. So anandam, when it is limited by namarupam, it becomes limited happiness, which we call as Vishaya Anandam. The Anandam a person gets out of Vishayas. It is just Ishvara and Namarupam. We see Ishvara, we know that Namarupam is part of this world called Ashvatam, which is constantly changing, which is based on karma. So overcoming this world is knowing that everything is Ishvara, and thereby karma, going beyond karma. Karma itself is based on Dvaitam. So karma is based on five components of Karta, Karanam, Adhishtanam, Devam and all those phalam. So five components are there. So karma itself is based on Bhedam. Without Bhedam, karma cannot be done. So going beyond karma means internally knowing that everything is Ishvara. So externally actions still happen, like even as a person. Does action does actions in dream, or does actions in a drama, in a play, in a movie? Similarly, actions will continue, but internally the mind will always remember that everything is just nama rupam in Ishvara, which means Ishvara alone exists. There is no duality, there is nothing here but Ishvara alone exists. So the world is again explained. So though Krishna has already explained the world, about the world briefly, he explains it a little more. So this world, vairagyam towards the world, dispassion towards the world, happens when we know the nature of the world. So the more we learn about something, it will lead to more vairagyam, dispassion. So it's like those cases when two people are together, so they think they can be life partners. The more one, they just meet. So one person meets somebody like somebody as beautiful as Aishwarya Rai or Angelina Jolie, then we may think, oh, I can be with that person. So we talk, then get together. The more we learn, the more we dispassionate we get, because we then find out that, okay, our nature is not right. Oh, external beauty is there, but inner beauty is lacking. So knowledge, with analysis or knowledge of objects comes dispassion. So this is also called as dosha drishti in the Shastra. Dosham, trying to analyze the fault in something. When we try to analyze the fault in the world, we will get more and more dispassionate. So that is what Krishna takes up in the second shloka. So he says, Adashchurdvam Adashcha Urdvam Prasritas Tasya Shaka Gunapravridha Vishaya Pravalaha Adashcha Mulanyanu Santatani Karma Anubandini Manushya Loke. So about the world, this entire shloka is just about the world, the nature of the world. Adashcha urdvam prasridas tasya shaka. The shaka, the branches of the world, this world tree, the branches are up and below. So adaha cha urdvam, so above, below, so everywhere it has shakas, it has branches. So, and branches are there in all places. So Shankara in his commentary says that adaha, below, means manushya, etc. Above means devas, etc. But here we just have to remember that shakas are everywhere. So wherever we see branch. So this tree is not like a normal tree. In a normal tree, there will be few branches. We can look at the branches, but here it is branches everywhere. A lot of branches, each branch denotes a being, a lot of actions done by a being. And how is this world nourished? So if we know as to how this world is nourished, how this the tree world, okay, world and tree, or at least for another 1 hour, wherever the word world or tree comes, both are synonymous, because here we are discussing about the tree world. So how is this tree world nourished? If we know how the tree world is nourished, then we can at least stop or reduce the growth of the tree world. Well, what is the point of reducing the growth of tree world? If the tree world grows more and more, then that means more and more vasanas, means more and more karma. More and more karma means more and more phalam. Again, more and more karma will add up, many more births will come. So if we reduce the growth of this tree world, then it will help us. It will help us go beyond the tree and see Ishvara. So that means, how does this world get nourished? Guna pravriddha vishaya pravalaha. So guna pravriddha. So it is the main growth of this tree is by gunas, the three gunas of sattva, rajas and tamas. So gunas means activities. So if a person is guna atita, there is a state called guna atita avastha. where a person goes beyond the gunas, that is the state of Ishvara. Ishvara is not bound to do any activity. Didn't he still do the action of Gita? So Krishna says that name parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. Oh Partha, I don't have any duty whatsoever in the entire three worlds. So a person who knows that everything is Ishvara, what duty can he have? He will do action, that is a different thing, but he doesn't have any duty. So when we speak about actions, we speak about a fruit, and we are bound by the fruit, we are bound by the action. It's your duty to do this. Many people say, isn't it your duty to protect your parents? Isn't it your duty to do social service, to help the world? So there is no duty at all for a person who knows that everything is Ishvara. If everything is Ishvara, what duty can there be? There cannot be any duty, but still, actions will go on. Actions where a person cannot nahi kaschit chanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit. Not even for 1 second we can be without karma. As long as we are there in the world, this world is based on karma, we have to do karma. But the question is, are we bound by the karma? Are we bound by duty? Are we craving for the fruit? Or do we do karma with a nishkama attitude? So there are two ways that a person can do karma: sakama karmam and nishkama karmam. So in some places it's called sakamya karmam as well. So kamyam or kamam, both words are fine. So karma, seeking a fruit, karma being bound by the action, bound by duty, or do we do it as an offering unto Ishvara? Actions done as an offering to Ishvara, there is no kartrutvam. It ceases to be an action with respect to the seeker. So it becomes like the acting of an actor in a movie. It will be like that. It won't affect the person because he knows that everything is Ishvara, but still activities will go on. We know that dream doesn't exist at all, but daily when we go to bed, we again dream. We know that, but still we dream. That's fine. Dreaming is also fine. In dream, we can do many activities. All those are fine. But the knowledge that the dream world doesn't exist, that is what really counts. And that attitude, that state we can go to by overcoming karma, by doing karma in a nishkama way, without any fruit, without any duty. So in that case, there is no guna. So gunas come into picture when the doer has a particular tendency. So what are gunas? In simple terms, gunas, each of the gunas have related activities, related action, related output, we can say. So sattva guna means a person will be more into jnanam, more into all those activities related to jnanam. So rajas means with respect to actions, a lot of actions, external actions. And tamas means with respect to inactivity, sleep, slumber, laziness, etc. So all those are with respect to all these gunas are there when a person is attached to karma. The moment a person does karma in a nishkamam way, there is neither sattvam, there is neither rajas, nor there is tamas as well. So that is the way to go beyond this world. So guna pravrdha, this world is nourished a lot by gunam, guna pravrdha. With respect to gunas, it grows, and vishaya pravala. So vishayas, the vishayas also are help in the growth of the tree. Vishaya pravala. So pravala means like growth. So here vishaya pravala has to be set for the shakas. The shakas, Vishaya Pravala means like the more Vishayas are there, the more Vishayas are being grasped, that's when the tree grows. So, of course, Guna Pravardha and Vishaya Pravala both are related. So, we can say that both of those are with respect to Shaka, which is for the tree. So we have to understand this. Don't get confused. Guna Pravruddha and Vishaya Pravala are with respect to the many shakas. Why does the tree have a lot of shakas? Because Guna Pravruddha and Vishaya Pravala. So Guna Pravruddha and Vishaya Pravala are reasons for the for too many branches. If there are a lot of branches, then that means the tree is growing. So ultimately it's about tree growing, not the branch growing. Finally it's about the tree growing. So growth of the tree is because Guna Pravruddha, gunas are with respect to inner tendency, and those get converted into craving for Vishayas. So that means if gunas are there, a person cannot be with a particular guna in the mind and not do any activity. If gunas are there, that means a person will do activity. Gunas are internal. The mental state or the mental quality, mental composition is called guna. If there is a mental composition, action will be done. If there is the mind is more towards tamo gunam, then that means what will happen? Person will start sleeping, a person will feel lazy, will not do anything. That is what will happen. So one is with respect to the mind, one is with respect to the external. So with these gunas, vishayas, there will be a lot of vishayas, and these vishayas, pravalaha, these vishayas add to the growth of this tree. So gunas and vishayas help this tree grow quite a lot. So two ways we can, or there are two aspects to overcoming this tree with respect to Nishkama Karma. One is gunas, going beyond gunas, and two is going beyond the vishayas. So going beyond the gunas and vishayas is through the same thing. Everything is Ishvara, Sarvam Brahmamayam. When we see everything as Brahman, then where is guna? Oh, gunas come into picture when we say, oh, this action is better, that action is better. Here everything is Ishvara, so where is guna? There is no guna. Are there vishayas? No, everything is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara means how can there be vishayas? There is no vishaya, there is only one vishaya here, which is Ishvara. And that Ishvara is not a vishaya because we are also that Ishvara. If we are different, oh, imagine the state where I am there and something else is there. So that becomes a vishaya. Vishayas are something which are grasped by the indriya. So vishaya or sense objects are grasped by the sense organs for the ego. So the ego grasps sense objects through the sense organs. So ego, sense organs, sense objects. So it's like you peeping through the telescope. The telescope is the instrument. Your eye, you are the person seeing it, and you see a star. The star is the object, sense object. The sense organ is the telescope, and you are the one, you are the ego who perceives the star. So in this case, like, we need to have duality. You need to be different from the sense object in order to perceive the star. If you yourself are the star, how can you see? You cannot see at all. So if everything is Ishvara, I am also Ishvara, then Vishayas are also not there. And as a result, like, if a person doesn't see everything as Ishvara and actions are done in a Nishkamam way. So everything is Ishvara itself means it's not just in the mind. Everything is Ishvara. This attitude is there in the mind, and that attitude makes the sense organs do actions as in a Nishkama way. So both are together. There cannot be a person who says everything is Ishvara and still craves for things. If a person has the strong conviction that everything is Ishvara, he is contemplating in the mind that everything is Ishvara, then what can he crave for? He cannot apta kama si ka spriha. Such a person is an apta kama. There is no kama for him because everything is Ishvara. There is no duality, then how can I see? How can I perceive anything? How can I crave for anything? Cannot. So automatically Nishkama Karmam will happen. So Nishkama Karmam, from a jnani, a jnani will always do Nishkama Karmam. Does Amma seek anything by her action? No. Does Balakrishna Nair seek anything in return for his discourses? No. They don't gain anything out of it. All their actions are Ishvara Arpitam Na Ichchaya Kritam. Automatically that is the attitude. And if a person doesn't maintain this attitude, the attitude of Nishkama Karmam externally and internally, Sarvam Ishvara Mayam, everything is Ishvara, then Adashcha Moolani Anusantatani. Adashcha Moolani. So earlier, Krishna said that this tree has a root above, but roots are all there below as well. So if we look at the Ashwatha tree, we can find that from the branches, we can find lots of roots. So from the branch, like it is like, we can consider it as stools or steps, not stools, poles or something coming down. So we can see a lot of roots from the branches. So adaha cha moolani. So there are moolas, there are roots below as well. Lots of roots, anusantatani, are spread. So lot of roots are spread below. So ultimate root, so urdhva moolam, the root at the top. What Krishna earlier said is Brahman. The root below is, here Krishna says that, the root below, what are the roots below? The roots below are raga dvesham. So out of karma, so roots below are born out of the shakas. So what are shakas? Shakas are guna pravrda vishaya pravala. That means shakas are nourished by gunas and vishayas. So what do we get out of gunas and vishayas? Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham means more and more vasanas are created. So that is what here it means. So if a person doesn't maintain the right attitude, the attitude of everything is Ishvara, then lot of vasanas will be created, and that vasanas will become roots, and more the roots, it becomes very tough to go beyond. So the more roots, or the stronger the root of a tree, it is tough to cut down the tree, go beyond the tree. So it means more vasanas are created out of ragadvesham, which are born out of gunas and vishayas. So the solution to all of this is just one, Sarvam Ishvara Mayam. Though Krishna will say it in a different way in the next shloka, that we'll see as to what or how that also is the same thing as seeing everything as Ishvara. So what this tree world is, karma anubandini manushya loke. So this tree is based on the rule that this manushya loka, in this manushya loka, karma anubandini, people do actions with respect, or people do actions, this manushya loka, this manava lokam, is based on karma. So this entire tree can be called manushya lokam. Of course, manushya lokam is part one, just one lokam, but here we can say that manushya lokam is what Krishna is dealing here, and that is based on karma. So karma anubandini manushya loke, in this manushya loka, the manushya loka can be considered as a tree, and in that manushya loka tree, in that tree world, shakas are there everywhere, and the shakas are nourished by gunas and vishayas, and there are lot of roots coming out of the shaka. These roots denote vasanas out of karma. So of course, leaves, we know Vedas. So leaves are the Vedas. Vedas means in general the Vaidika karmas. So if we have to speak, or if we have to give one term to this entire world, then that one term would be karma. So karma is the basis for this entire world. So karma, gunas, vishayas, etc. are like, will come out as karma. What are vasanas? The more a person does a karma, it becomes vasana. One time karma, it's just okay. Two or three times a person does karma, it becomes a vasana. It becomes an addiction. So this loka is based on karma. This loka is karma. And what is karma based on? Karma is based on dvaitam. So how can you say karma is based on dvaitam? If action means, as we discussed earlier, object should be different from me, that itself means duality is there. Or in more Vedantic way, karma, we do action seeking a fruit, that means there is a kamam, there is some desire to be fulfilled through the action. Fulfillment of desire itself means there is ignorance, because we fail to acknowledge that everything is one Ishvara. If everything is one Ishvara, then how can there be any desire? There can be no desire because there is only one entity, and that one entity is complete, all pervasive, blissful. So what else can be sought? Nothing can be sought. So that means karma is based on ignorance. Karma is based on not knowing that everything is Ishvara. So this world can be destroyed. A person can overcome this world with the knowledge that everything is Ishvara. So as we explained earlier, there are only two drishti. One is Jnana Drishti and the second is Loka Drishti. Jnana Drishti, Ishvara is remembered while perceiving Namarupam, while perceiving this world, while doing action, everything, there is Ishvara. Ishvara is remembered as the substratum of duality. Any duality, whether it is karma, whether it is vasana, whether it is phalam, whether it is shakas, I am not able to remember that these shakas are based on gunas, vishayas, etc. Okay, well and good. No problem at all. Just remember nama rupam. So what is karma? It's a namam called a karma, and rupam, it has a form, the way to do it. Vishayas, nama rupam. Gunas, again the namam of sattva guna, and actions, it is a rupam. So nama rupam is, everything is nama rupam. And essentially Ishvara. That essentially Ishvara is what we have to remember. Once again, just explaining what this particular shloka says in brief. So shakas, there are lot of branches. These branches are branches have leaves which are Vaidika karmas, and these branches are nourished by internally gunas, externally vishayas, craving for vishayas, seeking vishayas, and doing activities. And there are a lot of, once a person does activity, so shaka itself is based on doing activities, and once a person does one activity, it doesn't end there, it again causes a person to do it again. So the more a person does, a moolam, a root is created, which is vasana. Na jatu kamaha kamanam upabhogena shamyati. So if a person thinks that, okay, let me do this action and this, I can get rid of this shaka. No. The more a person does kamam, the more a person fulfills one kamam by doing karma, the more desires will be created. So once we do something, either we like it or we hate it. If we like it, we'll do it again. If we dislike it, we'll try to do something else. We'll not stop. So with karma or kamam, we cannot put an end to it unless we have the knowledge that all these are just nama rupam in Ishvara. So this lokam, this tree world, is based on just one word, karma. And that can be traced back to kamam, avidya, ignorance of the truth, ultimate truth, that everything is Ishvara. There is nothing here but Ishvara alone exists. Neha nana asti kinchana. If we don't know that, then person will go on doing action. So any action, whether it is good action or bad action, it doesn't matter. Any action, dharma, adharma, it doesn't matter. Is it associated with the knowledge that everything is Ishvara or not? If it is not, then it will lead to more actions, it will lead to bondage, it will lead to dukkham. So a person has to ensure that he always keeps in mind this knowledge, the knowledge that everything is Ishvara. If he forgets that, that very moment he falls into this karma lokam, karma anubandini manishya lokam, where vasanas will get created. And once vasanas are created, then it is very tough to get over, very tough to get rid of them. As we know, addictions are very tough to control. So a person who gets up in the morning and immediately has to drink one cup of coffee, we know that that person, once he nourishes that vasana, he does it for 10 days, he gets addicted to it. In the 11th day, he'll not be able to be without it. As Amrit Swarup Ananda says, if we meet a person, a beautiful girl in the bus, first day it's fine, that is karma. Karma means karma doesn't necessarily mean doing action as such, means some karmas are just perceiving as well, that those are called jnana karmas, jnana indriyas are useful there. It's not karma as such, but jnanam or grahanam, that is also a karma, that also involves the sense organs. It is jnana karma, but still, so a person sees a beautiful girl, he gets attached to it, to her, like first day nothing, second day a bit, third day again, fourth day he thinks, okay, let me talk to her, fifth day he talks to her, and then after 1 week he gets attached to her, then all of a sudden she doesn't come in the bus, he gets very sad. So that becomes a vasana, and then he cannot live without seeing the girl. So that's how do people get attached to two people who don't know them each other at all. So if we look at how marriages happen in India, two people who don't know each other, they don't know at all, what happens? Engagement happens, they just meet, their parents agree, and they start, and by the time the marriage happens, in ancient times that was not the case, but now even before marriage they start to go out, oh, I want to know the girl, so go out, and by the time of marriage they are so attached. How does that attachment come? So as Krishna says, dhyayato vishayan pumsah sangasteshu upajayate. So sangam gets created, more and more we do something, the more and more we contemplate on something, sangam, attachment, it's not just association, it is attachment gets created. And that attachment, mere association, gets converted into attachment, which is called kamam. And we know kama, krodha, moha, smriti, bhramsha, buddhi, nasha, karanatvat. Therefore, dussangaha sarvata eva tyajyaha, as Narada says. Dussangam has to be always renounced because it leads to kamam, krodham, and finally destroys a person completely. So many people get destroyed by one attachment. One attachment, just one attachment is enough to destroy. As Amma says, it's like one drop of poison into a big pot of water or milk is enough to spoil the entire milk. A lot of people get died. That's how poisoning happens. Just one drop, that is enough. Many people die out of it. So one attachment is enough. But a wise person will go beyond the attachment. So he'll remember, even while having the attachment, that oh, everything is Ishvara. Well, I am in this Manishya Lokam and I am getting attached to something. I am addicted now, but let me remember that everything is Ishvara, and then try to overcome it slowly. So such a person who remembers everything is Ishvara while getting attached or while being or doing activities, addicted to activities, any addiction, attachment is also an addiction. So any addiction, while having that addiction, if a person adds that everything is Ishvara, then automatically the addiction gets reduced. Okay, these are not again my words. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hisah. Even if a person does worse actions, the worst possible action, if he is addicted to something, addicted to cocaine, that's also fine. Addicted to cocaine, but even when he is addicted to cocaine, he says, oh Amma, protect me. Oh Ishvara, I'm addicted, but help me out. And when such a person contemplates on Ishvara, because of that contemplation of Ishvara, even while doing addictions, he will slowly get, out of the addiction. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Such a person, kshipram bhavati dharmatma, he will soon become a dharmatma. Shashvat shantim nigacchati, rather than other dharmatmas who say that they do dharma but they don't get moksha, this person will get shashvat shantim nigacchati. He'll get shashvat shantim. Shantim, eternal peace he will get. Why? Because when a person concentrates on me, when a person is thinking about me, if a person thinks about me, remembering that everything is Ishvara, then such a person is a bhakta. He is a bhakta who remembers Ishvara as all-pervasive. And such a person, Kaunteya Pratijanihi, O Kaunteya, know for sure, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, Mad Bhaktaha, Na Pranashyati. Me Bhaktaha, all mean the same thing. My Bhakta never perishes, know for sure that my Bhakta never gets destroyed. I'm always there to protect him. So that this is where we can know from Mahabharata and various epics in Mahabharata and other places. Dharma Vyadha, the butcher in Mahabharata, that's one of the favorite characters of Swami Vivekananda. So the butcher, he was a butcher, but then Ishvara sent people to him to gain knowledge. Butcher, he was doing the worst possible action. Many people are there in the world, they'll say, oh, eating non-veg, oh God, can't bear with you. A jnani, will a jnani say anything like that? No. Look at Amma. Amma welcomes even people who eat non-veg as well, as vegetarians as well as non-vegetarians. Try to avoid non-veg. But still, because everything is Ishvara, when a person says, oh, I don't like this, there itself, Bhedam comes. A person can say, okay, I don't like non-veg. But a jnani will never say, I don't like non-veg. I dislike, I hate non-veg. He won't say. He'll just say, oh, I don't want non-veg. I am a vegetarian. A vegetarian is not available. Oh, then that's fine. I'll not eat anything. It's fine. Maybe Ishvara will take it. The moment we get hatred towards something is also a form of attachment. So hatred, or dislike, is also negative attachment, so that's also an addiction. That also shouldn't be there. Oh, I hate that person. Oh, I hate him. I dislike him. That also shouldn't be there. That's also a form of attachment. So the butcher, he used to do the worst possible action, but still, he was a Jeevan Mukta. So it's not about actions, external actions. But even if we have attachment and addictions as of now, we have to remember that everything is Ishvara. While having those attachments, remember that everything is Ishvara. Slowly we will get purified. So it's like having a spy within an organization. So the spy, even if a person has, like, the spy is there in the organization, the activities of the organization will still continue. But slowly, as days pass by, the activities will get reduced, and finally the spy will infiltrate the organization and the organization will completely come down. It doesn't happen overnight, it happens over a period of time. Similarly, a person who has all these addictions, a person who is addicted to many things, but he remembers that everything is Ishvara, that is Jnanam. Apichedasi papebhya sarvebhya papakruttamah. Krishna, I forgot the rest part. Jnana plavena evam santarishyasi, vrajinam santarishyasi. I forgot the second line, but there in the fourth chapter, Krishna says that a person, even if a person gets a lot of sins, but still he crosses over the ocean of sins through the log of jnanam. So the jnanam log takes him through the ocean of sins. So even if we have done a lot of bad activities, we have a lot of addictions, we are addicted, attached to people, along with that we should add Ishvara, Sarvam Ishwaramayam, we have to add that. And as days pass by, we will find that the attachment gets reduced. Of course, don't come back to me after 10 years that, oh, I tried it, but my attachment is not getting reduced. Such a situation cannot happen. If it happens, then as Paramartha says, a person in Upadesha Sahasri asks Shankara, oh, I have done all whatever you have told, I have done, but I haven't realized. Then Shankara says, oh, is that so? I have also implemented what I said and I have realized. So there should be something wrong with your implementation. So don't come back after 10 years saying that, oh, my attachment is still there. Oh, I am still attached. Oh, I am still attached. That means there is no implementation. That means Sarvam Ishwaram Ayam is not thought in the mind. The more think about it this way, as simple, we are attached to something just this minute. We are attached to something. Something is right in front of us. We are attached to it. There is a laddu in front of us. I am so attached. I am ready to grab it and put it into my mouth. But at that time, if I say, oh, everything is Ishwara. Everything is Ishwara. This is just a nama rupam. Laddu namam and the rupam of circular. It's Ishwara only. If I say that, what will happen next? Obviously, the passion will get reduced. Immediately, the passion will get reduced. If the passion doesn't get reduced, then sorry, there is something seriously wrong with me. That means it will require many, many years. It will require more conviction. So if everything is Ishwara, the conviction is there that everything is Ishwara, things are just nama rupam in Ishwara, then rest assured, there is no doubt that passions will get reduced, attachments will get reduced, vasanas will get reduced. And even if such a person is indulging in activities, he is maintaining a sakshi bhavam. He is just the witness. He will not be affected. Whatever such a person does, he will be ever blissful. So that doesn't mean such a person will do bad activities. Bad activities will automatically get reduced. But in case bad activities are to be done, Shankara got into the body of a king and then he learned Kama Shastram. So all those are also fine. Everything is fine. There is no action that is said to be wrong in the scriptures. It's not the action, it is the attitude. If we can maintain the attitude of nishkamam in our mind and remember that everything is Ishwara, then the action automatically purifies our mind. Vasanas will get reduced. Actions will become like actions we do in dream, like an actor does. Our actor portrays his role in a movie, it will become like that. We'll be able to do it to perfection, all the while internally rejoicing in bliss that everything is Ishwara, as Shankara says. Yogaratova, Bhogaratova, Sangaratova, Sangavihinaha, Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. So yoga ratova, yogam, doing yogam, bhoga ratova, doing bhogam, sensual pleasures, enjoying, sangha ratova, sangha vihinaha, sangam or asangam, yasya brahmani ramate chittam. So externally, whatever be the activities, internally, if the person is remembering that everything is Ishwara, his mind is contemplating on Brahman, then nandati nandati nandatyeva, he ever rejoices. So Ramana Maharshi gives a story of a jnani. So what is the state of a jnani? Jnani might do many actions, external actions, like Janaka do a lot of actions, have many wives, although they are fine. Yajnavalkya had two wives. So all those are fine. Internally is what really matters. But then don't come back tomorrow and say, oh, I'm like marrying for the third time. Yajnavalkya had two wives, but that was long ago. So as per current day, like I think I should have three. So don't come back with all those. As far as possible, avoid. But if it is required that some actions have to be done, then we can boldly do it. We don't even need to think twice. Oh, I have to now shout at my friend. Don't be afraid. Portray the role like imagine that Tom Hanks is shouting, then shouting will automatically come. There'll be no problem at all. Shout and then internally laugh. Oh, how great an actor I am, and be happy. So there was a jnani. So he was a jnani, he was a yogi. So but he was always immersed in Brahman. But the king of the place, like, he didn't like this jnani. So he thought this jnani was a fraud or fake. So therefore he hired a dasi. In ancient times, dasis are not just prostitutes like today. So dasis are people who dance for a living, and they also spend time with others. Physical enjoyment also would be there. So he hired a dasi to expose this jnani to the people in the country. So what happened was the dasi, the jnani had a house and he would be staying. There is a tree outside the house, so he'll do sit there and do dhyana. So the dasi started just cleaning his house outside, cleaning the place outside. And after a few days, like jnani wouldn't say anything, because for a jnani everything is Brahman. How can he say yes or no to something? When if required, he will say yes then no. But there are, oh, this is where we should understand, oh, jnani will not say yes and no, but then amma says no whenever I ask something. So jnanis are beyond our apprehension. So a jnani, that's why yoga rato va bhoga rato va. Jnani may be yogam or bhogam, we cannot go by what the jnani does. We cannot go by his actions. We can only go by the happiness, the bliss that emanates from the jnani. So in this case, this jnani, he didn't say anything, because for him everything was Brahman. So he didn't say anything. So the dasi started keeping a little food there. He started eating it. So that continued, and then the dasi started living with him, and then they had a kid. And then the dasi decided, okay, now the time has come, a small kid. So now the time has come to expose. So she called upon the king and said, okay, I'm going to expose him at this place. So one day morning, the dasi pinched the child and then went out. And dasi means dancing. So she was dancing in front of a temple, in front of an idol. And a lot of people had gathered there. So this jnani, he saw that the child was crying. So he took the child and went to the place where the dasi was dancing. And the dasi was dancing, so he couldn't stop the child from crying, but he didn't want to disturb or interrupt the dasi. So he stood there. So the dasi came nearby to him, and then she knowingly, she unhooked her padasaram. And padasaram, whatever it is called, I don't know any the English word for it, so padasaram, whatever. I'm out here, so I don't know the word padasaram. I hope that is clear enough. So she unhooked it, and then she held her leg a little above floor, as if like asking or requesting this jnani to tie it up. So jnani immediately bowed down and he tied it. So seeing this, the people there, people around, as well as the king, started telling, look what a person he is. He is tying the padasaram of a dasi, and we thought he was a jnani. The jnani immediately stood up and he spoke, shouted or spoke towards the idol, saying that if it is true that each and every minute of my life I have remembered Ishvara, remembered Brahman, then may you cry out, may you speak out. And the idol spoke. Spoke means it uttered some words. So the story of Jnaneshwar is also very famous. Jnaneshwar, people used to attack him. 16 years he wrote the Jnaneshwari Gita commentary. So people used to attack him. Then when some few scholars started telling, oh, you are telling that everything is Ishvara, then can this cow speak Vedas? Jnaneshwar said yes. And the cow did speak Vedas at that time. So that means, though a jnani, nothing is impossible for a jnani. And in the first story example, what it means is that a jnani might do bad activities. It's not the activity that determines as to whether a person is getting bliss or not. It is the inner attitude. So jnaya sanitya sanyasi yona dveshtina shochati. Know him to be an eternal sannyasi, eternal renunciate of actions, yona dveshti na shochati, who doesn't have dvesham, anger, who doesn't get sad. And nirdvandvo hi mahabaho, he is nirdvandvam, he doesn't have dvandva bhavam, he doesn't see duality, he sees everything as Ishvara. And such a person, bandhat sukam pramuchyate, from bandhas, from bondages, he gets liberated. Sukam, easily, very soon he gets liberated. So, na dveshti na shochati, na dvandvam, all those are not external qualities. Those are qualities of the mind. So external activities, anything is fine, but internally remembering that everything is Ishvara. So if we do that, we'll be able to go beyond this karma lokam, this tree of karma, this tree of world, this tree of sorrow, towards the root, Urdhva Moolam. That Moolam, that root which is about, that root which is Brahman. And if we are able to go beyond this tree onto Brahman, then we will get eternal bliss. And that is the only way a person can get eternal bliss, by seeking Ishvara, by remembering that everything is Ishvara. What the duality is just Nama Rupam. Essentially, ultimately, everything is Ishvara. So that means Dvandva Bhavam will get reduced, Bheda Buddhi will get reduced, Raga Dvesham will get reduced. Ultimately, a person will be blissful wherever he is, whatever he is doing. Drishyam nasti iti bodhena manaso drishyam arjanam sampannam chetadutpanna paranarvana nirvrutihi. Yoga Vasishtha says that drishyam nasti iti bodhena, with the knowledge that there is no drishyam here. Drishyam is just nama rupam, it is just mithya, it is not real. Manaso drishyam arjanam, thereby negating the drishyas, negating nama rupam as temporary, and by terming them as temporary in the mind, thereby converting them to Ishvara in our mind. Sampannam ched. If a person achieves this, if a person is able to renounce, negate, renounce, or remove, whatever word we can use, nama rupam in his mind, then such a person will get nirvana, nirvriti. Such a person will get nirvanam. Nirvanam means sukham. And nirvriti is also the same meaning. Nirvriti means without any dukkam. So nirvanam, nirvriti, para, nirvana, nirvriti, para. Supreme nirvanam, the state where a person is beyond bondage. Nirvriti, state beyond dukkam. Sutarati shokam atmavit. Such a person who knows Ishvara, he crosses over shokam. Tatra ko moha kaha shokaha ekatvam anupashyatah. Such a person who sees everything as Ishvara, how can there be shokam, how can there be moham? The world, the tree world, doesn't exist at all for such a sadhaka. Such a sadhaka becomes a jnani, remembering that matta paradharam nanya kinchidasti dhananjaya, that there is no duality at all. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to go beyond this very tough tree based on karma. Tree which grows and grows and grows and grows due to karma, through nishkama karmam, as well as through remembering that everything is Ishvara. We'll continue later. Namaskar.